Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. First Horizon Park, where the Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians. First pitch, 6:35. And the first pitch today will be thrown out by me. That's right. And look, I hope it goes right down the pipe. It will not bounce. That I can promise you. Play. One thing that I was thinking about, you know, as Kinston wrapped up the TV Power Hour with that call about the GM and it being his birthday and everything else, I was reminded of one of our, I wouldn't say our favorite shows, but one show that we did years ago that makes me smile. Do you remember in 2020, you know, we had a lot of social unrest in the country at that time? And I think it started with the Milwaukee Bucks, who in the bubble decided they weren't going to play a basketball game. And then it kind of spread throughout sports. And so teams canceled practice, you know, in a moment of solidarity or whatever exactly it was at the time. And so this was during COVID and no fans were allowed to practice, and only like preordained media that had been COVID tested and wore masks and had to stand in like a certain area, only they were allowed at practice to report on what happened at practice. All the press conferences were on Zoom. There wasn't anything on TV for fans to watch or anything like that. There were no preseason games. And that day the Titans decided to cancel practice. And I mean, I had an opinion that I was fine with them canceling practice, but my favorite part of that show was I just said, if you're mad that the Titans are canceling practice, a practice that you can't go to because, once again, they're not open to the fans during COVID, that you can't see because it's not on TV, it's not live streamed, it's not anything like that. So just this practice that happened that 20 people would report on after it was over, if you're mad that they're not having this practice, I said, it tells me more about you than it does about the actual practice that the Titans are missing. And the reason I say that is because you guys, unless you're some of the select few that go out to training camp practices and watch, you guys have not seen what we, the media, have seen so far in Tavondre Sweat. The Tavondre Sweat hype train is leaving the station at St. Thomas Sports Park, and I'm not sure there's anything minus an injury. You heard that right.
Not as well as the other day, but yeah, a little.
Okay. Anything minus an injury, I don't think there's anything that's stopping the Tavondre Sweat hype train. And all I can say about this until they play on Saturday night is just trust me. Trust me. Trust TD. Trust Corey Curtis. Trust Joe. Well, even though Joe, you know, I don't even know how much practice Joe actually watches. Trust Paul. Trust, because we're all watching the same thing every day at practice. And it'd be one thing if it was one day where Tavondre Sweat went out there and dominated in practice and it was like, wow, that gives you a glimpse of what Tavondre Sweat can be. Treylon Burks has had practices like that. His first practice of training camp in 2022 was a, oh my God, this guy might actually be able to come in here and replace AJ Brown. That's how good that one practice was. But then, it, you know, practice two, practice three, it wasn't that. Then he hurt his ankle a little bit, and then he was out some, and then he was in some, and then he was... Tavondre Sweat, it is an everyday thing. Today, there was a rep where I think the offense actually completed a pass, and Dylan Radins manned up and was able to hold Tavondre Sweat, hold his block, anchor his tush down, and keep Tavondre Sweat in front of him. And I walked away from that rep, and I didn't sit there and think like, oh, yeah, well, Sweat didn't get there. Sweat, so I was like, wow. That was a really, really nice block by Dylan Radins. That's how impressive it was because it was Tavondre Sweat. And I said today to some of the guys on the sideline, I said, I think there's a chance, and I said it to TD in the last hour, I think there's a chance that by the end of the season, Tavondre Sweat might be the better player than Jeffrey Simmons. That's how good he's been. I was talking today And I was talking to people on the sideline, and I said, Simmons has yet to become the tier one level game wrecker. He's good. He is. And I know I bitch about the 5.5 sacks, but Simmons is a very, very good player. And there are games that they win because Simmons is a very, very good player. The Rams on Sunday Night Football is an example of that. They went to Washington a couple of years ago, and Simmons just, you know, wrecked shop. And so, look, Simmons is a very good player. But I think there's a chance that by the end of the year, Tavondre Sweat could be the bigger game wrecker. That what Albert Haynesworth did for the two contract years that Albert Haynesworth had here, where he was the best defensive player in the NFL by a wide margin. I'm sorry to the boo-hoo Bob Sanders crew, but he was the best player. He was a Hall of Fame caliber player for those 2 years. Got him a gazillion-dollar contract in Washington. He was all of those things. And I think there's a chance that Tavondre Sweat could be that. And I really mean that. I mean, I really, truly believe that what I've seen at practice is game-wrecking, unstoppable mixture of size and athletic ability. And I get so excited that, again, it isn't just one play here. It isn't just one one-on-one rep where he goes up against the third highest paid center in the NFL and eats him for breakfast. It's not that. It's not one play where he's in the backfield and he gets a safety on Will Levis because they start the ball deep in their own territory. It's not the play the other day where he came off of his block and chased down a running back from behind. It's not even today where Harold Landry got a sack because he ran around the edge on PT. And as Levis tried to step up in the pocket to deliver the football, he couldn't because big Tavondre Sweat was pushing the pocket. It's every day with him. Every team period, it's like, oh, who was that in the middle? Oh, it was Sweat. Tavondre Sweat has been as advertised by the Titans, who stuck their neck out when they drafted him. And everybody came out and said, oh, they shouldn't have picked him for whether it was the weight, whether it was the off-the-field issues, whether it was the fact that, you know, well, maybe he's a two-down player. And the Titans stuck their neck out and said, no, we picked him. We think he's this good. We think he can be that. And I have no idea because we haven't played a game. And because, just like with Arden Key versus Andre Dillard last year, sometimes it's bad offense, not good defense. But through 3 weeks, it is impossible not to notice Tavondre Sweat. It is impossible not to think what could be with this guy. And I'll be the first to admit, I questioned that move because everybody around the draft sphere was questioning that move. Dane Brugler was questioning that move, saying, yeah, I mean, they really went out of limb because I talked to some teams that took him off the board. Mel Kiper Jr. said, I liked him more than most people, and I had him in the third round. Even former GMs are saying, well, you know, I don't know. And maybe they're right. And maybe when we get to the games, like the unnamed GM said in The Athletic, Tavondre Sweat will break all of our hearts. But what I'm seeing at practice every day, again, not just one day, is special. You know, I was playing a high school baseball doubleheader on the Saturday in 2008 that the Titans selected Chris Johnson in the first round. And most of us at that point only knew about Chris Johnson because Chris Johnson ran like a 4.240 at the combine. And so the Titans, who had made the playoffs the year before, picked Chris Johnson in the first round. And I thought, oh, God, we don't need a running back. We have Lindale White. We just drafted Chris Henry in the second round. We don't need a running back. And I think it was his first carry. It might not have been. It might have been his one of his first five. In his first preseason game against the then St. Louis Rams, Chris Johnson took the ball 65 yards right up the middle for a touchdown. And I thought, oh, my God. This guy's going to be pretty good. That's what I see out of Tavondre Sweat. So, again, I don't want to false promote. You know me. I'm not a sunshine pumper. You know me. I was very hard on the Titans with all of the commentary surrounding the Tavondre Sweat pick. And get what I see at practice every day, the things that you don't see because you don't go to practice, because you can't see it at practice. Oh, there might be something here. There might be something here. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of all the noise surrounding Tavondre Sweat, I asked him about it today. I asked him about, hey, you know, there's a lot of talk. His reaction to it. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Let's talk Iller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. They take great care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. Let Hiller take great care of your home. Summer is over and it's time to get ready for school to start. So even though the kids are headed back to school, you can leave the homework to Hiller. This month, enjoy back to school savings with offers like a $99 drain cleaning, $500 off select high efficiency HVAC systems, $500 off new tankless water heaters, and $1,000 off whole home generators. That's right. How great does that sound? Visit happyhiller.com today for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical, proud supporters, the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Shark today.
You mentioned Tavondre Sweat yesterday. Where have you seen him improve the most throughout training camp?
He's getting so much better understanding blocking schemes, how to defeat blocks. It's not just him using his big body just to win physically. Now you're starting to see him settle in and understand his role in the defense and where he fits in the run game and the pass rush. That part's been really cool. He's made a ton of plays over the last two practices. I think he just continues to get better at a rapid rate. And so that's exciting. I'm excited about that. He's done a really nice job. You know, obviously for guys his size, you know, you're always worried about, you know, playing 5, 6, 7 plays in a row. So the conditioning part is kind of an ongoing process to be ready to go play a drive and not have to come out very often. So that's sort of the goal for him, is to be in shape to play 10 plays and, you know, hopefully not 10 plays, hopefully it's 3, but that's kind of where we're headed with him.
The big man, Tavondre Sweat. And once again, the hype train is leaving the station, and I am not going to be one to stop it. I mean, I have to tell you, every time I'm out there and I see Tavondre Sweat, I'm like, this massive mamma jamma is always making plays. And I do wonder about the conditioning, you know, the full game out in the heat in September. Can he be the impact player in the fourth quarter? And I do wonder about, you know, his ability to be in on pass downs when you've got to sack the quarterback. And I hope that that all works out. He's not going to play every snap. That's okay. But look, there was a lot of noise surrounding the pick of Tavondre Sweat. And I'm not going to lie to you. I amplified a lot of that noise. We discussed it because it was like every day somebody was coming out saying, oh my God, that was a bad pick by the Titans. Oh my God, they'll live to regret it. Oh my God. And here's the thing. As excited as I am about practice, we haven't seen it in the game yet. But as Tavondre Sweat was answering questions today at the podium, I did ask him about all of the noise, which was predominantly negative, all of the noise that surrounded Sweat. Here's what he said.
Did you hear the chatter before you were drafted, after you were drafted, about people wondering, like, he's got the talent, but is he going to be able to make it? And did you hear that? Did that motivate you at all? How do you feel about that?
That question. I mean, I tone it out, you know. I'm a mama's boy. Everybody know that here. I just go to my mom, chop it up with her, get everything off my chest with her, and go by my day.
I got to tell you, I heard that answer and I loved it. And I'll tell you why. Because the reality is everybody hears the noise. Okay. Like, I know that a lot of these players, I just block it out. I don't pay any attention to that. I don't. If you think Ryan Tannehill wasn't aware of the fact that 90% of the country thought the Tennessee Titans were going to sign Tom Brady, you think he's living under a rock. And even though I think Tannehill usually does, you know, have some pretty thick skin, Tannehill definitely heard the noise. And then when it happened, he's like, well, I just worry about what I can control and I don't worry about. Sure. And I bet if Ryan Tannehill got deposed and we looked through the text messages, it probably wouldn't surprise me if there were some text messages saying, well, I think that Brady's only going to play a couple more years and I'll play longer than that. And I don't think they should sign Brady. I think they should sign me. Things like that. Everybody hears a noise. I say it all the time. People tell me, well, you know, I don't listen or I don't know. And I'm like, the people that say they don't listen, listen the most. Because if there was a show that spent 4 hours talking about me, I'd listen to it too. But when Devondre Sweat says, like, hey, man, I just talk to my mom and then I just go about my business, I'm like, that's a dude that's got thick skin. Like, if you can make it through this, like, if you can handle the heat that he had to handle, which was guy gets picked in the NFL and everybody is sitting there saying, why? Oh, my God, this is going to be a massive mistake. Oh, my goodness. It's similar to what Will Levis went through. That means that you can handle the pressure of being in the NFL. You know, some guys cannot handle the pressure of the NFL and they get upset about every little thing because they're used to being the best player in high school and everybody in high school just kissing that ass. And then they go to college and they're the best player at Secaucus State. And then they transfer from Secaucus State to Michigan. And then they're the best player there. And then they get drafted. And all of a sudden, they can't handle the adversity that comes their way. Because it's magnified when it happens in the league. Ryan Leaf told me. He said, I was too young and too immature for the spotlight that came with being the second overall pick and kind of being the guy to lead the franchise and all those kind of things. So when Simmons is like, yeah, I heard it. My favorite, or Simmons, Sweat, when Sweat's like, yeah, I heard it, but I talk to my mom and get it off my chest, and then I go on about my business. I'm like, sir, I salute that answer. I also think it's pretty funny that he was probably asked, like, I don't know, 10, 15 questions before that, and I didn't want to come out the gates hot with this question about, you know, everybody said some negative stuff, including me, about you when you were drafted. And again, my thing was, I've always said I liked the player. My issue with Sweat was, you know, if he can't sack the quarterback and he can't be a, if he's a nose tackle, you know, just your, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, DJ Reader, Vince Wilfork, your predominant big fat Sam Adams, Saragusa, Ted Washington, you know, that big fat nose tackle. If that's what he is, well, great, but that's, you don't use the 38th pick on that. But if he's eating up double teams and triple teams, and all of a sudden Landry has 13 sacks because, like today, he collapses the pocket, Landry gets around PT and ends up getting to the quarterback, well, then he's worth that. And that was kind of my big thing. And then the red flags, like, again, what they say is that, you know, old guys or injured guys stay injured, dumb guys stay dumb, fat guys stay fat. And so when we're talking about weight and maturity questions, like, that's a real thing. But I do think he's like, oh, bad question. Yeah, I mean, I just talked to my mom about it and move on. That was a very mature answer, and it gives me hope. And again, I'm excited. I am telling you guys, I feel like the hype train is leaving the station, and I am going to be crushed, just crushed, if Tavondre Sweat is not a star. Because he looks it every day in practice. 615-737-1025. We're to your phones on this next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063. The game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there. Nope, I've told them everything I need to tell them. But I am going to give away tickets later in the show. So be listening for that. Stillman & Company, live from First Horizon Park, 1025-1063. The game.
Coach was saying, even the last couple of days, he's seen you make several excellent plays. Has there been anything you felt, you know, take a jump in the last couple of days even?
Just staying on my conditioning, you know what I mean? Just keep pushing and pushing myself when I'm tired. So I would just say my condition is just getting better and better every day and start making more.
That was Tavondre Sweat today. And Ian, did you hear how Tavondre Sweat has added extra conditioning into his daily routine?
Yes, I think I saw or heard that he mentioned walking.
He's walking an extra 15, 20 minutes a day. Get that conditioning in. I do love that. Like, it was funny that that's just a random thing that popped up, you know. And look, hey, walking is secretly really good for you. I mean, I remember during the COVID shutdowns, I would walk for like 2 hours at a time because I was bored. So I would just like listen to a podcast or I would listen to, you know, whatever. And I would just walk around, you know, Green Hills, Belmont, you know, Vanderbilt, whatever, and then walk it back. And I remember when I would go on like 2 hours worth of walks a day for about like a 3 week period. And like in week two, I felt like I'd wake up in the morning and I would just feel my butt was like firming up. And I was like, is that from all the walking? And so, hey, there's something to that. I'm not going to knock him for that. But T'Vondre Sweat conditioning is always going to be a thing with him. And that's okay, as long as he stays conditioned. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A lot of people have raised this question. And Brian says, is it possible that the O-line just sucks and that's why Sweat looks so good? Yes. And that is the one reason why I feel like I'm saying it's leaving the station, but I haven't said, talking about the T'Vondre Sweat hype train, but I haven't said all aboard, because there is a feeling to me that it's practice. And there's a difference between practice, as we all know, and the game. And I'm not saying, like, I make jokes about Burks and Chig and how they would go into the practice Hall of Fame. They've never been as good consistently in practice as T'Vondre Sweat has been for the last 3 weeks. But at the same time, like, it's still practice. And the one thing I do wonder, you know, Trevor said when they drafted T'Vondre Sweat, and Trevor will be on the program tomorrow, Trevor said that he felt like, look, if he's 380, he can't play in the NFL because they're just going to run him out of the games. If he's 360, 350, he can really be a problem. Trevor's like, if he can get to like 340, 330, then he can be a superstar. Now, I think that, again, he's the J.C. Latham said 370 the other day. So if he's 370, you know, 330 is going to really be an ask to get him down there to 330. Now, it may make him $100 million, and if it was going to make me $100 million, you know, I might have to see about getting a league therapeutic exemption for Ozempic or something like that in order to get $100 million. But again, it is practice, and it is possible. We learned this last year with Arden Key. You know, Arden Key was dominating Andre Dillard every day. We knew that Arden Key was a journeyman at that point in time. Vrabel was like, well, I mean, it's Arden Key, guys. Speaking about him like, again, Jeff Simmons, Derrick Henry, you know, one of the better players in the league, which he is not. And maybe that could be the case. But again, I think there's a chance Sweat's that good. Anthony says, I was at practice today. It was a good one. And T'Vondre Sweat is a monster. His other takeaways, Malik Willis may not be in the NFL after this season, and that Mason Kinsey will make the team. Mason Kinsey had a nice little touchdown catch today in the corner of the end zone. Now, I don't watch all the 7-on-7s and the 1-on-1s and things like that because I'm busy watching the big boys. You know, I am watching the offensive line. I think it was Sam Phelan today said, Jared just stares at the offensive line. He just goes down to the offensive line and he just stares at him. And that is, in fact, true. I just watch the offensive line. And so I can't tell you all about the, you know, who's going to make the team at receiver, who's not. Bryce Oliver had a great touchdown catch the other day. Here's right now. And we'll do a 53-man roster. We'll do one tomorrow. And right now, I think Mason Kinsey's probably on the team if I'm making it for one reason. Right now, he's the starting punt returner. And if he ends up being the punt returner on the quote-unquote unofficial depth chart, and if he is the punt returner, he's going to be on the active roster. So right now, if I had to make that 53-man roster, which we will make tomorrow on the program, Kinsey's on it. Austin from Clarksville says, are we nervous about Lloyd Cushenberry constantly getting beaten by T'Vondre Sweat? Yes. You know, Cushenberry, and I said this, maybe it was Tuesday's practice. Maybe it was Sunday's practice. I can't remember. All the practices just kind of run together. I got Wednesday's practice. All the practices just kind of run together. But I said, I'm a little nervous about Lloyd Cushenberry right now. Because in that one practice, he was eaten alive by T'Vondre Sweat and he had a bad snap. And I didn't watch the tape of Lloyd Cushenberry when the Titans signed him, but I did go through the PFF numbers about, you know, this is where it says he's good, this is where it says he's. And it, basically what PFF said about Lloyd Cushenberry was last year was an outlier. Last year, he was a good starting center, but that according to the totality of his work, that was more of an outlier. Now, I think Lloyd Cushenberry is going to be fine, and I think that's what they're paying him for. Now, he's the third highest paid center in the NFL, but I do believe that he'll, you know, you overpay in free agency, he'll be fine. But it is a possibility. It is always a possibility when it comes to this guy on defense in practice looks really, really good. And it's like, okay, is it good defense or is it bad offense? And Arden Key and Andre Dillard are the example that I will use until the end of time. One texter into the text line says, you are one of those people that was hard on Sweat. You didn't believe the hype. You were already out on him before the first day of camp, but at least you are owning up to it, says the texter. Let me say this. When it comes to the Tavondre Sweat stuff, I have never said, when they drafted, I have never said that I didn't like that player. Because as I said at the time, they do not make guys that are that big that have feet that move that quickly. You'll never see a guy with an ass as big as Tavondre Sweat's with feet that are as quick as his. But the number one ability, this goes back to the whole NWI Treylon Burks discussion that we've had. The number one ability in the NFL is availability. And there are a lot of people around the league that were very, very concerned about Tavondre Sweat's ability to be available. And it's like yesterday when I got into it with Chris Sanders about the red flags, when Chris is so excited about what Sweat's doing at practice, that he's like, well, can we get rid of the red flags now? No, no, we cannot get rid of the red flags. And I know why you want to get rid of them, because Chris Sanders loves everybody and he thinks the best and best case scenario. But no, we can't just dismiss it. Right now it's off to a good start and I like it, but let's not get too, you know, let's not just completely dismiss everything either, because we haven't played a game yet. Andrew says, I'm so excited about your 53-man roster. Could you possibly do a top three most controversial picks within the 53? Texter says, looking forward to the 53-man roster tomorrow. Can I do the top three most controversial picks? Well, I don't know what the 53-man roster is going to be, so I can't tell you what the three most controversial picks are. But Ian, I'm thinking that would be a pretty good topic for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. Sounds pretty good. Think, you know, some of the roster bubble guys who's close and who might be a little bit of a dark horse candidate.
Well, and just a little inside baseball here. You know, it knocks out a topic maybe in the 2 o'clock hour or the 3 o'clock hour when we're going to put the 53-man roster in the 5 o'clock hour. So it's like, hey, here are the three most controversial picks we made on the roster. By the way, if you want to hear the full roster, you have to tune in tomorrow at, I don't know, 5:30. I'll figure it out tomorrow when we put the grid together. But I mean, it's Texter, not a bad idea for a topic. I think that's a good topic for tomorrow. Perhaps. What do we think? 2:30 tomorrow, Ian? 2:45?
That sounds pretty good. Yeah, what's tomorrow? Okay. Friday? Yeah, 2:30, 2:45. That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
2:30, 2:45, and then we can talk about the three most controversial roster decisions that I'm making for the 53-man roster with Corey when he comes on at 3:15.
There you go.
And so on and so forth. Jeff from Hendersonville says, whatever happened to Kiaris Jackson? He's on the team. Right now, he is third on the depth chart in terms of punt returning. I think he's going to have a pretty hard time making the roster. Let me just say this, though, because again, I don't know, you know, who's going to make the team, who's not going to make the team on the 53. I'll do it tomorrow morning and then we'll have it on the show tomorrow. One thing that, to me, this is not controversial, but it will come off as controversial. Malik Willis is making the football team. And Malik he's gotten better from last year to this year. I think he still kind of stinks, but he's making the team. And I hear all this talk about, well, but no, there is no but. The only but where Malik Willis doesn't make the team is if somebody releases a quarterback that Brian Callahan just loves. You know, let's say Cincinnati, and I don't know who their third quarterback or fourth quarterback, let's say they release Jake Browning. And it's like, oh, we have a chance to claim Jake Browning. Then I could see them releasing Malik. But that's it. If there's somebody that the quarterback, that the coach loves to make the third quarterback, then they could do it. If not, Malik makes the team. And it's for two reasons. Number one, Malik is already guaranteed all of his money for this year and next year. When you get drafted, that contract's fully guaranteed. So Malik is due like $1.5 million this year and $1.5 million next year. And so why flush $3 million down the drain if you don't have to? Secondly, the way the rules work nowadays, the way the rosters are constructed, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe that the guy who would lose the roster spot to Malik Willis, the 53rd man, you would say, is not so good that you can't just replace that value with some Scarbini off your practice squad that you can call up on Sunday and then send back down to the practice squad. So his money is already guaranteed. So, I mean, you want to light that money on fire for no reason? The money's already guaranteed. The third quarterback is not active on game day, but can play in case of an emergency. And I'd rather have Malik out there than Mason Kinsey if something were to happen to my two quarterbacks. And then again, how valuable would the 53rd man been anyway?
Just a side note. Sorry. Go ahead. Just a side note. Guess who is the third quarterback in Cincinnati?
Okay. Let me guess. No, let me guess. Third quarterback in Cincinnati. Younger, older?
I'd say maybe in between, on the younger side of old.
Okay, so it's not Logan Woodside.
Oh, it is Logan Woodside.
Okay, so Logan was on their practice squad when the whole Mariota Tannehill thing happened, and he got released or something, or he played with them in the preseason. He got released, and the Titans put him on their practice squad. And then when Mariota left, he became the backup quarterback.
So he's the third quarterback
that's
in Cincy.
That was in my mind.
Yeah, Logan Woodside.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about that. I mean, considering that Malik's already beat him out before, which was really, truly a testament to how terrible he was. But, yeah, I mean, unless there's some guy that just Brian Callahan has to have, Malik's going to make the team. 615-7. 637-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So there was something that has gone viral. And it's not about the Titans, but it is about a team that the Titans play. And it has gone viral. And I don't know if people are afraid to say this, but I'll say it. And we'll do it next here on Stillman & Company. Let's give away that 4-pack of tickets right now to the PBR Nashville Stampede at Bridgestone Arena. On Friday, August 16th, be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the PBR Stampede at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, August 16th. Good luck. Stillman & Company live out at First Horizon Park, where once again the Sounds are taking on the Indianapolis Indians, 635 first pitch, and I am throwing out the first pitch tonight. So this has nothing to do with the Titans, but it has gone viral. Ian, have you seen the video from Hard Knocks of Caleb Williams, the quarterback the Titans will be playing in week one, and his purse?
I have not, no.
Okay, so I have not watched Hard Knocks. I need to watch, you know, I've said that when they named the Bears as the team in Hard Knocks, I said that, you know, I'm going to watch Hard Knocks because the Titans are playing the Bears, and so it'll allow us to kind of learn a little bit about the Bears, and maybe it'll be a little interesting. Maybe we see him prepare for the Titans. Who knows? So I'll watch Hard Knocks. I really don't, you know, to me, Hard Knocks in the regular season is kind of all the same. You know, they follow the first round draft pick. They introduce you to the coach. And then by the middle of it, they've kind of figured out what works. And you're usually following some nobody out of Scarbini State, who's, you know, trying to make the team, and it's him calling his girlfriend and telling her how hard it's been, and, you know, trying to learn the playbook, and he's getting yelled at by the coach, whatever. But I'll watch, because again, the Bears are the Titans' first opponent. So I haven't seen the first episode, but apparently what's gone viral is there is a picture of Caleb Williams in the coach's office, and he's sitting down in the chair, and the coach is sitting at the desk. And when he gets up, Caleb Williams picks up a bag with two straps on the top of it, and he takes his bag with him to where he goes. Now, what do most of us think a bag with two straps on the top of it is? A purse. And so Caleb Williams, it's going out on all over social media about, have you seen Caleb Williams' purse? And I saw this, and I honestly, like, I've watched the video like 9 times of this cut of Caleb Williams just standing up from Matt Eberflus's desk and picking up his purse and taking it with him. Now, this may be controversial. I don't know. I don't know if people, you know, are afraid to say it in today's society or not. Let me just say this. I cannot take you seriously if you play football and have a purse. I'm sorry. There are lines that I cannot take you seriously. This is a grown-ass man who's a quarterback who's trying to lead his team, and he's got a purse. And I am aware of the fact that there's really not that big of a difference between, say, a purse and a briefcase. And I understand, I've never owned a purse before, but I understand that it might be very nice to carry a purse. I know I've had to carry somebody else's purse before. I'm sure we've all been there, you know, where it's like, oh, I guess I got to carry the purse. And sometimes you can just put it around your arm and I guess it's fine. I don't know, but I don't own a purse. And I just, football to me, I do not care. I do not care what kind of clothes you wear. I do not care I don't care what kind of people you sleep with. That's your business, not mine. And I certainly think that you can be whatever you want to be and play football. But I do not think that as a rookie, you can go in there and lead the team and say, hey, guys, here's my purse. I don't think you can do it. I mean, that would be like Caleb Williams getting up from the desk and bending over, you know, so he gets up from the desk and bending over and you see a thong in his ass. That's, to me, that's what that's like. So, look, I understand Caleb Williams has an unbelievable amount of talent. The nail painting, I don't really like it. The crying with mom in the stands, you know, let's do that in a tunnel underneath away from the cameras, probably, you know, whatever, but I get it. You know, I've been upset when my team's lost too. The not answering questions from the media, the acting like he has all the answers, that to me is a little red flag. You know, that's a red flag if I'm sitting here trying to evaluate whether or not I want this guy to be my quarterback. The whole thing about Caleb Williams, and if I were the Bears and I had the first pick, I would have had to take it. Like, I would have taken him with the number one overall pick, even though I do not like, you know, the extracurriculars with Williams. The talent's just so great, you have to do it. But I'd much rather have been Washington and been picking second and not had to make the pick, because I don't think it's going to work, because I just don't believe Williams. And this is another thing where I'm like, okay, really, dude? A rookie quarterback been anointed the franchise? They got this radio host in Chicago. He's actually going to take Skip Bayless's spot at Fox Sports 1. He's got no talent. His name's Danny Parkins. I saw him on with Cowherd this week, and I saw it was on Twitter, and he said that he wanted Caleb Williams to play in the Hall of Fame game so that his career could start and end in Canton. Now, I thought that was a very, very homerific take, but, like, that's how people around there view this kid. And he's got a purse? A purse. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. I can not take him seriously with a purse. in the NFL. Brent is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Brent.
Jared, once again, I think you have lost your nut. I will remind you that Joe Namath walked on a football field with an incredibly feminine fur coat from his neck all the way down to his shoes. Joe Namath, you can't judge.
But guys wear fur coats too.
That's all I'm saying. All right, bye-bye.
Guys wear fur coats. Like, not that I wear a fur coat, but guy, I mean, like, it's not only women that wear fur coats. A purse. And by the way, a lot of people are texting into the text line about how this is European. It's not a purse. Football is not European.
European handbag.
That's why when you watch the Olympics, they don't have football, because it's not European. It's American. And in America, quarterbacks do not have purses.
Be cultured. You have to be cultured. Worldly.
A purse. By the way, apparently they found a video. Caleb Williams did a video. Ian, do we have this?
Yes.
Okay, so this was him talking when he was, you know, just the Heisman winner and was still in college. This was apparently a video he was doing, the 10 things he can't live without. And guess what was on the list? His purse.
A Goyard pouch. So this pouch right here is my prized possession. Anywhere I am, this is with me. I love the color. Doesn't stand out too much. If you know what it is, you know what it is. I have a bunch of different chargers in here. I have my Apple Pen. I have a pen in here. I always have my keys and my wallet in here. Everything stays together, so I'm not, you know, looking around. I hate losing things. I always have my iPad with me. I can text on this iPad. I can use my Apple Pen to do plays and everything. A couple plays right here. I don't know if I can show you plays. I had to give up to all the other teams that watch. But I just have a bunch of notes on here. I got it all. Everything goes in here.
Right here in my purse. By the way, if you're looking at the stream right now,
his pouch.
Guess what I'm holding up right now, Ian. Ian, you see what I'm holding up?
It looks like a backpack.
A backpack. You know what it does? I can put my keys in there. I can put my wallet in there. I can put my iPad in there. I can put my, and guess what?
It's not as fashionable.
It's not a purse. No, it's practical because it's what, again, I need it. You know, I need a backpack, a purse.
Because it's practical and more aesthetically pleasing.
Is it? Your starting quarterback hauling around a purse is more aesthetically pleasing than your quarterback with a backpack on his back?
Sure. It looks very nice.
It's not.
Well, his pouch looked much, no offense to your backpack. It's a fine backpack. It looks nice. But his pouch looks much nicer.
Gunner says, I could not get behind Levis if he had a purse. I can deal with the interceptions. I can deal with the mayo. I can deal with the bananas. I cannot deal with a purse. Amen. Caleb Williams with a purse. Watch him drop like 350 yards on the Titans and 4 TDs in his opener. I have no idea. But a purse. A purse. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on the program. 615-737-1025. I like Brian Callahan. I think Brian Callahan likes me. I have no idea. But coming up next, two things he said today at practice, not sure I agree with. We'll get to that next. I'm in a company, 102.5, 106 for the game.